Welcome to the Love and Light Live podcast, empowering crystal lovers and spiritual entrepreneurs to learn and experience the art of crystal healing. Get ready to listen in and join our crystal movement. Hello, and thank you so much for joining me for the Love and Light Live podcast brought to you by loveandlightschool.com. I'm your host, Ashley Levy, and this podcast is the number one place for all things crystals, where crystal lovers and spiritual entrepreneurs can learn and experience the art of crystal healing. In today's show, we're going to explore glass. That's right, not crystals, glass. I know it sounds weird, but I get questions all the time about how crystal energy differs from other materials in the world around us. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about the different types of glass and whether or not they have energy for healing. So why don't we get started and dive in together? So this is kind of a controversial subject, right? I mean, most crystal healers and crystal workers that I know, at least, myself included, tend to work with only natural materials, natural crystals. I personally sometimes use heated crystals in my practice. I will use aura quartz and things of that nature, but I don't use dyed stones. I don't use artificially irradiated stones because it's just too different than I feel like than what Mother Earth had intended. So where does that leave something like glass? Obviously, humans have had a long relationship with this material, and we've used it in pretty much every way imaginable. I mean, we've used it from construction and building materials to things like glass crystal balls. You know, we call them crystal balls, but really they're just glass spheres that are used for divination, things like that. So where does this relationship kind of leave us when it comes to modern crystal healing? Well, first, I think we need to talk a little bit about the difference between natural glass and man-made glass, because there is a big difference. There are some natural forms of glass out there, and then there's man-made stuff. So just as I choose to only work with natural crystals, not man-made crystals, if I were going to work with glass, it would be of a natural variety. So what the heck do I mean by that? What you might be thinking, like, where does glass naturally form? Well, there are lots of minerals that are forms of natural glass. So before we can dive into this, I suppose we need to back up the train a little bit and talk about the difference between crystals and minerals. And if you're listening to this and you're a student of the basic crystal healing class or the CCH program, this might seem like a little bit of review to you. This is one of the things we kind of talk about in that class. But when we talk about minerals, there are crystalline minerals, which actually have a regularly repeating atomic structure or blueprint. And there are amorphous minerals, which lack any kind of repeating organized pattern. So in crystal healing, we normally talk about working with crystals because we want to bring that regularly repeating blueprint of atoms and molecules, which has this perfect stable structure, into our field, into our own energy field, which isn't so perfect and stable. And our body, our energy body, goes through the process of entrainment and starts to mimic that orderly perfection that's displayed in the crystal. So why on earth would we want to use an amorphous mineral, a mineral that doesn't have any kind of internal crystalline structure? What place do those natural glasses have in crystal healing? While there are lots of other influences that come into play when we're talking about energy. So most commonly, us crystal healers kind of default to that idea of this perfect stable structure in the crystal, but minerals of all types have the ability to kind of refract and reflect light. Think about everything that you see is absorbing some spectrums of light and reflecting others, and that's what gives them their color. So that color frequency is one of the things that we can work with when it comes to the energy of these natural glasses or these amorphous minerals. But there's also strong mass consciousness that's associated with some of these. Now, what the heck do I mean by that? Well, many of these minerals, especially things like obsidian, have a very long-standing lore or legend behind them. So think about something like obsidian. It's very strongly connected with the goddess Pele and with the energy of the fire element. And humans have a long relationship with obsidian, using it for tools and ritual objects and things of that nature. So when we're thinking about the energy that obsidian holds, even though it doesn't have a crystalline structure, it still has that color frequency vibration, and it also has this kind of mass consciousness belief system associated with it when it comes to the lore and legend that's been associated with those crystals for hundreds or thousands of years. Now, some people might say, well, if the crystal doesn't actually have the crystalline structure, it doesn't have that perfect orderly structure, then isn't that really, you know, just the placebo effect taking hold? Isn't there kind of a lack of scientific evidence then for this crystal energy to work? And here's the thing, here's what I'm going to say about this. There have been some studies done. You'll see one online floating around. I think it was done by a Dr. Christopher French, where there were some interesting studies where, you know, they gave the participants, some of them a quartz crystal and some of them a piece of glass that looked like a quartz crystal. And what they found through their study is that the participants, through suggestion, were thinking that they had the same experiences with the piece of glass as those people with the quartz crystal did. But here's what I'll say about that. The power of the human mind is an amazing, amazing thing. And even if you want to chalk this up to placebo effect or whatever it might be, I'm okay with that, because here's what I say. Everything in this universe has energy. Everything has energy. You have energy, and I have energy, and the plants have energy, and the crystals have energy. So of course, glass, whether it's a natural glass or a totally man-made glass, that's going to have some kind of energy as well. And if we're really focusing on it, you can feel that interaction between your own energy field and the energy field of anything else in this universe. Now, is a piece of glass going to be quite as effective for healing purposes as a regular crystal, as a natural crystal? My experience has been no way, not even close. But I do think that because everything has energy, you're still going to have a certain experience based on that interaction that you have with that object. Now, back to this idea of natural glasses versus man-made glasses. So here are some examples of natural glass. I already mentioned obsidian. That's one of them. Tektite is another form of natural glass. And if you're wondering what a tektite is, think of moldavite. Moldavite is that beautiful emerald green variety of tektite. But there's also something like Libyan desert glass, an amazing, beautiful gold variety of tektite that's found in Egypt and Libya. You'll also see one out of Australia called Darwin glass. This is a form of tektite. So this is formed when a meteorite hits the Earth, and where the impact was, there was a fusing of the minerals that were found on the Earth with that impact from the meteorite. And so these minerals fuse together and form natural glass. Similarly, there's fulgurite, which is also known as lechatelierite. This is a natural glass. It's sometimes called fossilized lightning, and this forms when lightning hits somewhere like a sandy beach and fuses the small grains of sand, which are most typically quartz, into a natural glass. Now, this isn't the same kind of glass that we think of when we think of window panes. In fact, it just looks like little grains of sand kind of melted together. It's sort of tannish brown, ranging into gray, depending on the location where this occurred. But all of these are natural varieties of glass, and I do find that these are incredibly valid and useful tools for crystal therapy. Now, on the other hand, there are some man-made glasses, and this is where it gets a little controversial. I know many people who choose to use some of these man-made materials in their healing practice, and like I said, Everything in this universe has energy, so I am not at all discounting the fact that these do have some kind of inherent energy to them, and that with the right intention and direction, they could be quite useful for healing. I just don't personally use them in my practice because I don't resonate with the man-made energy. But in a few examples of this are gold stone. You may be familiar with this. It's often sometimes incorrectly labeled as sunstone. Another name for it is sandstone. And what this is glass with crystallized copper. And it was first created by accident in, I believe, the 1700s by some monks who were attempting some alchemical processes. They were trying to turn this copper and glass concoction into gold, which is really interesting. So that's where it gets its name, goldstone. But it's really more of a copper color. It's beautiful and glittering and sparkling and super pretty. It's sometimes called aventurina, which is the Italian name for it, because it was some Italian monks who first kind of came up with this. Or sometimes you'll see it called aventurine glass. But it now comes in other colors. So the blue is very, very common. Very popular. It looks almost black. It's a deep, deep indigo blue color, and it kind of looks like a starry night sky. Super pretty. And then there's also a green, which actually has a slightly different appearance than the red or the blue. Its flecks are a little bit denser and chunkier, but the green is pretty deep in color as well. So those are very common. Very popular now. You see them a lot in jewelry and things like that. I prefer not to use them, but quite an interesting little trio of goldstone. Now there's also Gaia stone. So Gaia stone is pretty interesting. So this is kind of like halfway between natural and artificial. This is one that I've kind of experimented with quite a lot, and I do like the energy from it. But let's talk about why. So first, let me tell you, Gaia stone is created by heating the ash from the Mount St. Helens eruption. That happened in 1980, and this ash, it has really high chromium content in it. And chromium, when it's represented in its mineral form, normally shows up as green. So a lot of green stones have either copper or chromium. And so this chromium that's inside of this ash from Mount St. Helens, when this ash is heated, the chromium really comes through and turns this beautiful, brilliant emerald green color. And this is known as Gaia stone. And you'll see this a lot on the market. It's pretty interesting stuff. And I feel like because it has come from the earth, even though it was a little bit man encouraged, so you won't find natural Gaia stone out around near Mount St. Helens, but even though it is kind of man encouraged, it has this really neat energy because it did come from this volcanic event. And so again, I think it's almost like because of that history and lore that's associated with this stone, that's what makes it so powerful energetically. You'll also see things like opalite, which is an opalized glass. They call it opalized glass. I've seen lots of different things about exactly how this is created, but the most common explanation for how this opalite is created is that glass is created and then something like ground fluorite is added to the glass. And I've seen that even to get like the best quality opalite, it needs to be cooled in ocean water and salt water. Now, I don't know if it's still done that way or if that's how it was done just originally, but it does create this really interesting opalescent looking glass. It ranges from kind of a fiery orange and yellow to a cool blue and violet. It looks different when you hold it or if it's just sitting on a desktop. And this is commonly used in feng shui, actually, in the shape of an egg to transmute negative energy into positive energy. It's really, really interesting stuff. It's beautiful, but this isn't one that I use myself for healing, but pretty interesting stuff if you check it out. Now, I want to mention here, you will see this stone confused for moonstone all the time. I see it mislabeled in crystal shops. I see it mislabeled online when it's in jewelry and things like that. It is not indeed moonstone. It is just a man-made glass. So if you are in the market for some moonstone anytime in the near future, do a little Google search for opalite and look at some of the pictures to make sure that when you go to purchase your moonstone, you're not in fact getting a piece of opalite. And I don't think this is something that's done intentionally. There are just a lot of vendors on the market that just call this moonstone, and I think it's more accidental. But just be an informed, educated purchaser if you're going to make some decisions about purchasing some moonstone. Make sure that you get the real deal. And that leaves us to probably the most controversial of the crystals, or excuse me, the man-made glasses that I want to talk about. Now, some people would say that this is absolutely a natural glass, not a man-made glass, but Andara crystals. And I will say I have spent many, many hours researching Andara crystals, and from what I can tell, they are more than likely just some slag glass that was left over from some kind of production at some point. Maybe not from a large factory production or anything like that, but from what I can tell, these are no more than man-made glass, although you'll see many, many other differing opinions on these Andara crystals. Again, they're quite beautiful, and like I mentioned earlier, everything has energy, so it's not that these don't have energy at all, it's just that I probably personally wouldn't use them in my healing work. But very beautiful to look at, and I know many other healers who kind of swear by the energy of these stones. So that's really what I wanted to talk about in today's podcast, and just get you thinking a little bit about your own practice, whether that's your personal work with crystals or if you have your own healing arts studio and you see clients, just to kind of get you thinking a little bit differently about some of these amorphous minerals, so those natural glasses, and maybe how you can incorporate those into your healing work versus some of these man-made stones, and whether or not it's the right choice for you to work with those. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, do what feels right to you. If you love opalite and you love goldstone and you've had some great experiences with it, then I encourage you, keep going with that. But I also just want to share a little bit about my perspective and my experience with these different materials and just kind of get you thinking a little bit. So with that, I hope that you've got a lot of value out of today's show. If you want more information about anything that I discussed in this episode, you can learn more over on the website at loveandlightschool.com/blog. And as always, if you enjoyed the show today, the biggest compliment that you can give me is to leave a quick rating and review over at loveandlightschool.com/iTunes. And don't forget, while you're there, you can also subscribe through that link so that you never miss a future episode of the podcast. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Love and Light Live podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Levy. I'll be back with you in our next episode. And until then, crystal blessings.
The Love and Light Live podcast is a production of the Love and Light School of Crystal Therapy. Visit us online at loveandlightschool.com.